You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Good evening and welcome to Thursday Night Fun Factory. We're going to play some Pathfinder 2nd Edition this evening, as we do every Thursday. But next week, there will be no show on Thursday because we will be landing in sunny Denver, Sunshine State, where we'll be doing a show the following night in Boulder, Colorado, Skid. We've talked about this a couple times. How excited are you that we're finally bringing you home and you there?
I will actually already be there waiting for you. I'm going out a little bit early because I'm just that excited. You joke saying calling it the Sunshine State, but it's famously, famous for having 300 days of sunshine a year on average. And odds are it will be sunny when we are there. I have never been more excited to do a show.
Oh man.
That's so great. I can't wait. I think my sister is going to be there. At least one of them is going to be there. Maybe two of them.
Really?
Yeah.
A bunch of my friends are coming. I don't think my dad is coming, but my stepmom might be there. I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
Denver in April. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these famous friends we've heard about over the years. Skid, so many
Shelton's
famous, hilarious.
Nick Shelton's going to be there. His brother Jason, who was the inspiration for a token on South Park. I think I've told you that story.
Yeah.
My friend Dave Flomber's going to be there. Dell's going to be there, obviously.
Obviously. Finally, Dell doesn't have to fly.
He doesn't have to fly anywhere.
To go to a show.
Walk there.
My friend Rob, a lot of my friends are going to be there. My friend John Bell, who I used to do my D&D campaign in the attic back in middle school, he's going to be there, hopefully. Very excited.
Yeah, I can't wait. We're going to have so much fun. And, as I said last week, I'm sure by the time this is airing now, we are sold out. I'd be shocked if we weren't. But hey, there may still be time to see us in St. Paul, Asheville, LA, and Seattle in both May and June. Head on over to glasscannonnetwork.com/tour. Buy those tickets and come see us. It really is, until you see it live, you've never really seen it. It's a whole different experience. We have so much fun. And we've got this exciting new cast now that we rocked in Philly that we're going to be rocking all year long. So please come on and see us. Here's what I want to talk about for banter today, very quickly, because I want to get into the show, because I want to make sure that we cover everything to set up whatever's going to happen in Boulder, because I don't know what you guys are going to do tonight. But I have been reading, I read books to Archer every night before bed, and Dash as well, but we kind of have to separate. We're running a zone defense now with three children, and so he picks one story, and then I'll usually read from this like Avengers book that just like goes through everyone that the Avengers have ever been in the Avengers or has fought the Avengers. It's like A to Z. It's like 300 pages. We're on C. And then I'll read, for the past few months, I've been reading this trade that I got him because he was into Thor. And I was like, well, I'll buy you an old Thor book, one that's like before you could like do nasty stuff in comics. Like in the 80s, there was a rule. You weren't allowed to like say bad words and stuff like that. And I changed the words. And anyways, but we're reading The Mighty Thor. It's it's by Walter Simonson.
Walt Simonson. Yeah. The old Simonson run. Yeah.
I saw Thor Ragnarok, but I never saw the first Thor. Never saw Love and Thunder. I've seen him in the Avengers, but I never quite understood Thor. I'm not saying I fully understand him now, but I fucking love the whole Thor mythos. Like, I've learned so much that I never knew. I never knew Midgard was Earth.
That's right.
Yep, there it is.
You need to read. Hold on one second.
Bye.
Matthew has stepped out of frame and apparently fell asleep. Oh,
what you need to read is the Prose Edda.
Ah.
Oh,
which is the source of a lot of our knowledge of Norse mythology.
Can I borrow that?
Sure. It is written, you should read it only because the author's name is Yeah. Snorri Sturluson.
Snorri Sturluson.
Oh, yeah. Snorri Sturluson.
There's also the Poetic Edda, which is the other source of a lot of our knowledge from Norse mythology, but the Prose Edda is short and it's fun.
Are there pictures? Hold on, let me grab a book too.
No, but
are we having a book off?
You can get the Dahl Heirs.
Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Norse mythology. A Guide to the Gods, Heroes, Rituals, and Beliefs.
It is Acton Cthulhu.
Oh, cool.
I got books.
The other one is that actually you should get this because it's great for kids, is the Dahl Heirs book of Norse mythology and Greek mythology with these beautiful illustrations. The Greek one has always been in print. It was like a staple of my childhood, but the Norse one went out of print and has come back in print and is beautiful.
We ban the classics in my house.
You ban the classics.
Yes.
The policy.
Okay.
That's that makes it hard. Everybody.
I don't have a book, but I have a knife.
Whoa.
An old
I didn't
man
know that
book.
Was an option.
it's a Beretta. It's Booker Knife Day.
It's on, Booker Knife. Okay, do you have a book or a knife?
This room is still pretty empty because I'm still like figuring out what to put in here. But next to me on my little dice plant tray, I've got the two.
Remember we got these? Nice.
What the con was?
Gen Con. We got them at Gen Con. Or no, PAX Unplugged.
Right. They're these like little tiny like one-off books for Morkborg. One of them has like a solo/micro game, which is
that
cool.
That we're going to play, right, Kate?
That we're going to play. And then like this one's got like a dungeon in it or something. I don't know. They're cool. And then I also got like this extra spells thing.
Oh,
and then I also got a coin to flip back and forth. So if you ever roll 1d2, I flip my little creepy Morkborg coin.
Look at you.
And anyway, that's what I have next to me that is book. And
book adjacent.
No knife.
They're
no
books.
Knife. No knife.
They're,
no
knife. They're like square-ish. They're rectangular. They have covers and they have pages inside with words and pictures on them.
Sounds like a
so
book.
So that to me sounds like a book.
It's no knife.
It's so defensive.
Well, you're coming for me again.
I think that what he's trying to say is you don't own any novels, do you? That's what Joe is trying to say.
Yeah. Listen, you guys got me. I don't know how to read.
Busted.
You're the Leah Michelle of the Glass Cannon podcast.
Pretend that I know how to read.
The Leah Michelle, amazing.
That's why when you're like, oh, your spell has the incapacitate trait, I'm like, I don't know what those are.
I just see squiggles. Any other knives?
I have a knife.
Oh, nice.
Whoa.
That's a good one.
Damn, girl.
A knife.
Pulled that out pretty quickly.
Put that away.
That's a knife.
That's
think
a
about
knife.
That next time you try to come for me, Joe.
Noted.
Joe has yet to show a book or a knife. I'm starting to think maybe Joe can't read or defend himself.
Or fight.
Let it be known, Joe is... Joe vulnerable Brian. Intellectually and physically.
Book or knife?
Tonight we play our weekly game of book or knife. Or
knife. Book or knife night.
As is tradition, Joe, you're up next.
I grabbed a book that was in reach here. One of our favorites among at least Troy and I. I'm not sure which of you hasn't read this amazing sci-fi novel, Hyperion.
Oh, baby.
I'm just going through the audiobook.
Oh, and that
it's
cover.
It's really good.
I've always loved this cover so much because to me, it just, you look at it and you're like, oh, that's going to be a terrible book. And you have no idea how good this book is.
Like it kind of looks like a Danielle Steele novel.
Yeah, it looks like Danielle Steele, but it's about a metal monster. It's a metal spiky monster.
Yeah, it looks like Fabio did the model for... the guy on the cover, but no, it's like,
and it's cool too
because I was such a big Canterbury Tales fan in high school, and it's like largely
almost an homage. Sydney, you don't know this one or haven't read this one yet?
No, but I also do really like the Canterbury Tales, and now I'm looking that up. Joe, I love your book recommendation, so every time you make a recommendation, I do take it to heart. So I am adding that to my reading list.
This one is like one of the most famous ever sci-fi novels. Yeah,
how's the audiobooks good?
It's great. It's fantastic. It's really
recently started delving into audiobooks, and I'm having a great time.
Oh, yeah. You just finished
I've got a great
Andy Serkis, the Andy Serkis Lord of the Rings, right?
Andy Serkis reading The Hobbit. I have Lord of the Rings. Right. But yeah, it's predictably amazing. But now I'm of course, for Legacy of the Ancients listeners, I'm listening to The Lonesome Dove audiobook, which is...
I'm reading it right now!
I mean...
Oh, awesome.
The audiobook is so good.
It's Lee Horsley. It's Matt Houston himself. Lee Horsley doing the audiobook. And it's way better than I would have expected from Lee Horsley. It's really good. Sorry, Tom.
The only thing that would be hilarious if you then opened Hyperion and you were hiding a knife.
If this show was scripted, enough,
that would have been perfect.
I was fast enough. I just wanted to recommend an audiobook to you, Matthew, that is one of my favorite audiobooks I have ever experienced, and it is the audiobook version of Bill Bryson's A Short History of Nearly Everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've read that. I read that as a book.
It's so good. The audiobook is so good. The British guy that does it, he's dead now. He died. It was so sad. He's such a good narrator. And it tells you this story of science in the world that is just unbelievable. It's so good.
I added it to my wish list regardless, because that's how seriously I take your recommendation.
Awesome. Awesome.
There you have it. Two knives.
Two knives, three books tonight on Book or Knife.
Joe, Troy, I can't help but notice you didn't show us a book or a knife.
I did. I showed.
Yeah, he showed a cult or something.
Sorry, you
showed
Cthulhu.
Yeah. Look, this is Modiphius. They make a shiny book. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they make a good looking book.
A good looking book. But yeah, that Thor story. Thor's pretty cool.
I don't know anything about any of the Avengers. I never read any of the comics really. And all I knew was like video games basically. And then I saw Thor because it's one of the first ones. It's like, and I was like, this has got to be stupid. Like Thor, you know, the God of Thunder or whatever. And the movie was great. And I loved the Thor mythos. Like that's what it was. It really jumped out at me. I was like, this is so fascinating and it's so good for humor. It's just so rife with the ability for great comedy, for rich comedy, when you have like a god clashing with mortals in a real way. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast where Jerry Duggan, the comic book writer, was talking, and he was talking about when he was a kid. This is like before Comic-Con was a huge thing. He was growing up in small town Jersey, and he and his comic book reading friends would go to the comic conventions that were these tiny little sometimes it was just like a high school gymnasium, and he went to one, and it was Walt Simonson. I think Louise Simonson was there too, and they were doing a table together and doing a signing, and there was no one online. They happened to go up there and they started asking him questions about like how you make a comic book. And apparently Walt Simonson took out his notebook and he was like showing them like how he was like, I'll sketch out the page. And then he's like, oh, you want this? And he like tore pages out of his own notebook and handed it to these like 12-year-olds who were like lost their minds.
Oh, that's amazing.
Actually, that's funny too, because one night we were playing Council of Thieves, Joe's Council of Thieves campaign, and Jerry Duggan almost came and sat in on the game one night because Nick was his editor. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, you want to come for a night, like come play Pathfinder with us. And he was just like, yeah, if I can swing it. And he didn't end up coming, but he said he wanted to.
So. Quick grammar and dialect question. Now that you mention it, Matthew jumped out at me. Do you guys wait online or in line?
Describe the situation.
I'm saying, do you use the term when you're waiting in line? I say I'm waiting in line at the DMV.
I say,
do you wait
in
line or do you wait online?
Because I'm in between two people usually.
I guess I use them interchangeably.
Same.
Or do you really? I heard you say they're waiting online, I never say that.
I usually say I'm waiting through line. But I'm waiting. I like to play with words.
I say I'm waiting betwixt the line, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm waiting betwixt the lines.
These days, online means something else. So
right.
You
don't want to confuse people. Okay. I always say
an American-Canadian thing too?
Yeah. I was going to say, thank you, Matthew, that I usually say I'm waiting in a lineup to honor our Canadian cousins.
Of which we have none.
Yeah.
And you, Joe?
I queue up.
Okay.
He is a queuer.
I'm a big queuer. Look at I get the DMV and I turn to my wife and I go, look at this queue.
And she's just like, queue.
I'm going to leave you.
Is that the Brits? Like, I'm in the queue. Do they say I'm in the queue for everything? Is that the Brits? Like they're in line at the grocery store?
They queue up.
Waiting in the queue.
Yeah.
Apparently is a New York idiom to say you stand online.
Oh, yeah. You're such a New Yorker, Matthew.
Standing online.
I'm standing online slice.
I'm in line here. Oh, shit. No, I'm online here.
Hey, I'm online.
Troy, you can't say anything because you say rum, so you're not allowed to talk.
I got a lot of fun words. I do. One of them is rum. Another one is what's in this scroll case?
Scrolls are the best when you're a wizard, and it's so cool that you don't have to share it with anyone.
Do you think it was my poppet can do scrolls?
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think. I'm pretty sure I read that like today.
I refuse to roll off against a pop.
I'm convinced that this guy was a really shitty wizard and he just had a bunch of like fireball scrolls, but he can't act. He doesn't have any spell slots. He just was burning scrolls and this is his last one.
I bet you as Atticus is frightened, is fading away and he is shaking with fear and he has used both of these incredible spells to deflect this guy's attacks. He's like, he was not weak. I mean, this guy was a badass.
Yeah, this guy came out.
Scroll is like, it's like cheating on a test.
Why don't you open it up and see what it is, and then we can all fight about it once we actually know if it's important or not.
You open it up and two papers fall out because it's two scrolls.
Amazing.
They appear to be identical. Do you want to try and decipher this?
Yeah.
Identify the magic?
Yeah. Arcana? Mm-hmm. Does that sound good to you?
That'll
good,
do.
Buddy. 25.
Let's see here. I think that's going to be good enough. Yeah, that'll be good enough to know that these are scrolls of Dimension Door.
Oh! Amazing!
Hell yeah.
Two scrolls of Dimension Door.
So that means you don't need to fight. We can share.
We can each take one. Amazing.
Well, this is two.
Wait.
It's not 17.
No, only Eris and I would use it, right? I mean, is it on your spell list?
I don't know.
So my topic.
Oh, I'm sorry, Suki. I forgot you were there.
I can cast spells too.
Right.
Does Dimension Door appear on the Divine Spell list? Also, do you cast Divine Spell? No, Primal. Wait, what are you? Druid.
I have some Primal.
Arcane
I'm looking.
And Occult.
Arcane. Nice. Yes, I knew it.
Occult. Got it.
Yeah, opening a door that bypasses normal space, you instantly transport yourself and any items you're wearing and holding from your current space to a clear space within range you can see. If this would bring another creature with you, even if you're carrying it in an extra-dimensional container, spell is lost.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, so he was trying to burn one to get out of that sticky wicket that he was in, surrounded by all of you, to slide away and regroup. But Ethel landed the killing blow. So now you stand in front of this lunar prison with a portcullis that is down. However, you can see through it into a room that is, you know, I'll even reveal the room because you can see through into a room that has a door at the end, and the room appears to be empty.
Wait,
it's
so
about 25 feet long, 15 feet tall.
Just to clarify, when we were in the guardhouse, like Ethel is in the guardhouse, there's no way to get into the main building from this guardhouse.
It doesn't appear so. Yeah, no, the guardhouse, like the only way in and out of the guardhouse was climbing through the windows, and you don't see any means of getting into the building from there. And you also don't see any means of raising the portcullis from within the guardhouse, so he was totally bullshitting you.
Yeah, that's why I said he was a filthy liar.
You were right.
You gave him the business.
And it really hit home for him, I think, clearly because of how demoralized he was.
For sure.
Ethel is going to help anybody who needs help climbing through the window.
But there's nothing in there.
There's a door in this room.
No, no. Troy was saying we can't get into the room where the portcullis leads to through the guardhouse. There's no way through the guardhouse.
Oh, we could see into it through the portcullis, you were saying. I misunderstood.
Yes.
Suki wants to check this guy's body. She's pretty hurt, and she just wants to see if he has any healing on him.
Yeah, you want to search the body. Obviously, you find the two scrolls of Dimension Door. But beyond that, he doesn't have anything else on his person because he used his two scrolls of fifth level fireball.
I fucking knew it. This guy sucks so bad, and he used scrolls the entire time.
You're right. A cheater.
Look, they're all burnt up. He already used him. What a waste.
Do you not have any more elixirs of life? I have mine.
Oh, yes. I do need to use those. Aldo gave them to us.
Actually, yeah. I do have my elixir lesser. I'm going to use that.
Moderate.
We had one moderate and two lesser. Total.
Yeah. I guess I could use my moderate at this time. I am pretty low.
I'm just going to... Can we take 10 minutes to treat wounds?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do that.
So Ethel has it, and you're the only one, Ethel, right?
I can do it as well.
But you're just going to do it on yourself? You took a ton of damage, right?
Yeah, I guess I'll just do it on myself.
Okay. And I'll just drink those consumables, because I'm down a lot, and I'll just use up. But I should be fine after those. And then, I mean, this is just a note, I guess. Well, all right. So, I don't know if I can learn this spell from this scroll. I don't see anything about it.
Or to, like, learn it and put it in your spell book?
Yeah.
Why do you think you can't learn it?
I don't know. I'm blanking.
Ooh.
I'm like 2E.
Critical success on my treat wounds.
Nice. Oh, I don't know how you learn spells, but I just feed mine to Egg.
You feed yours to Egg. Okay.
It takes an hour for Egg to eat the scroll.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we wait. Because here's the thing. If we utilize this scroll to go through the portcullis and open it from the other side, we then burn that scroll forever, and there's no ability to use it again. But if we take the time to learn it, then we could use Dimension Door forever.
What do you think, Egg?
Only in the Dreamlands. Interesting question.
Do you have an hour? right.
And don't forget, Dimension Door is only for one of you.
Why?
He's saying one of us will go in and open the door from the other side.
Right, if there is a way to open the door from the other side. Keep that up.
Why don't you take the hour, and meanwhile, Ethel and maybe anyone who wants to come along, I want to scout around the whole prison and see if there's another way to get in.
Yeah, Suki will go.
So we'll take the hour so you guys have Dimension Door, and then we can deal with that thorny rules question. And then, in the meantime, we'll do a little stealthy scout and see if we can find another means of ingress.
Okay. All right, so who's going with Ethel?
Suki will go.
Okay. So Suki and Ethel begin their roundabout here. Which way are you going? Are you going north around or south around?
Let's go south around.
Okay.
They least expect. I don't know why.
To the south.
All right, great. So you go to the south and you start circling the building, and you notice about, I don't know, 50 feet or so, right in the middle, there's like a section of the building that sticks out. I'm pinging it here on the map right now. Yep. And then it just keeps going and then turns to the north, and you come around, and then... When you get all the way to the north side, there does seem to be another small, like, side entrance.
Great.
Perception check?
That's a good idea.
Perception check. You actually, when you were coming in, you saw this while you were flying in on the Shantak, but you were accosted by the ghoul before you could even think to check out this little side door.
Can we listen at the door?
Yeah.
20.
30.
Sorry, 21.
You don't hear anything. Very, obviously, very thick walls. It's the stone is very strange. It's like the way it doesn't look carved or like man-made at all. It just looks like one continuous block that was shaped into this building.
Does it look like we could open it?
Uh-huh.
All right. Ethel will check to see if it's trapped. 23.
No, it doesn't appear to be trapped.
All right. Very tentatively, he will open the door ever so slightly. I can roll stealth if you want me to, but the idea is I just want to open it so far, just make sure it's not locked, and so I can just like peek in to see if this is a safe place for us to gather.
Yeah, so you peek in and you see like looks like a little room. A pantry or something.
Oh, great. Okay. I will leave the door where it is and then maybe gather the others and then bring them back here so we can all.
Suki will stand guard at the door, just waiting for everybody to come back.
Hey, we found a side way in.
Sideways, good.
Sweet.
Well then, perhaps we should go. Eris, we could work on this later.
I mean, that took some time, so my idea was like, if you guys wanted to learn the scroll while we're scouting.
Even if I learn it, I haven't like prepared it. I guess maybe my patron can do it, and then they can open a door if we need to.
Yeah, you would have to prepare it, and then also you have to expend materials to learn it that are very valuable.
No, mine just says my familiar can learn any spell of my tradition by physically consuming a scroll, and it takes 1 hour.
Huh.
Okay. I'd be surprised if yours were free, but everyone else's aren't. But
could be a witch thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Gormley was the same thing.
Yeah, I fed it to. There was a roll involved though, but I didn't. I fed it to Howie.
Yeah, the physical materials, components, and costs are provided when the scroll is created, so you don't need those when you're casting from the scroll. It's all part. It's built into the scroll, so you don't need to provide those when you're casting a spell from a scroll.
To learn a spell, you must do the following. Spend 1 hour per level of the spell, during which you must remain in conversation with the person who knows the spell or have the magical writing in your possession. Have materials with the price indicated in Table 4-3, which is, for a level 4 spell, which is what Dimension Door is, it is 36 gold pieces.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just a different process for
learning from the witch.
It doesn't say anything like that. It says other ways I can learn spells. It's like talk, like my familiar can talk to another familiar for a while and learn spells that way, and all these different ways. And for that, it just says that one sentence. It can eat them. I'm sure consume doesn't mean eat, but for me, it means eat.
Yeah. Probably eat. It's probably eat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool. Well, if you do take an hour, or if like at least Eris takes an hour to have, Egg eat it and Atticus decides to hold off, you could treat wounds again if you do take that full hour.
I would love to treat wounds again, which is why I was pushing for it.
Oh, me too.
I can also soothe you if you like. I only have one of those, though.
Soothe you.
Right now.
Well, I'm going to treat myself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
There we go. 13 more points of.
Oh, I critically succeeded again.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? I'm down 20.
Okay.
Ooh. I critically succeeded too. This is good because I was down quite a lot. That fireball really hurt me, actually. Bless
you.
Excuse me.
All right, so you guys heal up a little bit. Eris now probably knows or can prepare Dimension Door tomorrow, and Atticus is going to hold on to the scroll. You go back up to this little side door, and who's going in first?
Ethel will lead the way. Sorry, I was just reading about it. I think Kate is right. It does seem the learn a spell activity seems separately described in the text of the witch's familiar in the advanced player's guide.
Huh.
But anyway, yeah, Ethel will lead the way, and I will step into the little pantry.
You step into this little, pantry, and the walls contain several shelves that are stacked with bags and barrels. You pass through this thick metal door to get in here, and you look around, and the only other exit that you see from this room is like a 4-foot square of grill work of close-set iron bars that are anchored into the stone. And there's a metal funnel that is jammed into the grill work, and the wide end of the funnel is facing this room. And that's actually right, that grill work that I speak of is right to your right, Ethel.
I will examine the grill work. Is it trapped? I'll roll perception. Mm-hmm. 24.
Doesn't appear to be trapped. It looks like it's fused right into the stone. It's got bars that are like 1 inch thick and spaced about 3 inches apart from each other in that space. And you can kind of see past it into another room to the west.
Hey, Suki, are you able to become a small creature?
Let me remember what I put on my spell list. I took off pest form. I don't have it any longer. I didn't think I'd need it. Oh, wait, no, I can. Focus spell, baby. Yeah. Do you want me to crawl under this little door like a little rat or something? Oh, sorry, Atticus. She says,
"Would it be
a
helpful?"
Filthy little rat.
You
I know
don't
of no
go
rats
alone.
Yeah.
Do you want me to bring Egg?
Well, I mean, I don't know if Egg could fit, but I can turn into a gas.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, is that like a big spell for you, though?
It's a level 3 spell.
If I do,
or no, it's a level 4 spell.
I'll just do the pest form, because I feel like savior spells, you have more effective fighting spells than I do, I think.
Sounds good.
Okay, let me see what I turn into. I turn into...
like Russian roulette.
Doesn't it tell me what I... No, I want to pick, but it's not telling me my list.
You're just going to start looking at the list now?
What?
Of all of the animals in existence?
No, normally when I pull it up in the spell, it like brings up the things I can turn into.
Why don't you just turn into a tiny orangutan?
I'm turning into
a tiny orangutan.
I'm turning into a lizard.
Same thing.
Okay. Same thing. We're going to split hairs here. Orangutan, lizard, let's go.
Like try my lizard token.
That runs like this with its...
Your feet. Lizard token, yes.
Yeah, like a... I forget what those are. Yeah, they run on their hind legs.
Yes.
And then they hiss at you with their little frills that come out.
All right, there you are. I'll let you control your lizard.
Where am I?
You're right next to... Here, I'll put you right there. There you are.
Oh.
Oh, I'm so small.
So small.
Yeah, you're a lizard.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see you.
I run.
All right, so yeah, you are small enough to fit through there. That's pretty cool. And you find yourself in a room here. Now, with your small lizard brain, you can still tell that it's a kitchen. And there looks to be a door leading to the south and all sorts of stuff in this kitchen.
Okay, with my lizard brain... I'm going to go under this next door just to see what there is, since I'm still so tiny.
It's metal. It's a thick metal door that goes all the way to the floor. There's no crack.
Oh, I bonk my little head.
Bonk.
And then I run back to this door and I try to open it as a lizard. Can I do that?
The grate? You just walk through it.
Oh, is there no, like, mechanism or anything?
No.
She's trying to open it for us.
No, no, there's no mechanism. It's like I said, it's fused right into the stone. It's like a little grate.
Seems like a strange...
what tactic. The hell is this fucking setup? All right, so I'm going to come out of lizard form, I guess.
So you have to use the scroll, I guess. I don't...
Hold on, I'll come out of lizard form.
This is enormously frustrating. And it's like, can you even learn a spell from a Dreamland scroll? Because you're not going to carry it with you back, right?
You never know. Weird things happen in the Dreamlands.
They do.
All right, so you're gonna turn back into yourself while in the kitchen, or you're gonna come back through?
No, I'm gonna turn into it in the kitchen. I'm trying to find a way to let them in.
Okay. All right. So let me get you in. Just making absolutely sure.
Oh my god.
You'd be trapped in there.
Yeah,
you'd be
this
trapped
is,
in the I, wait. There has to be a way out of the kitchen.
I know.
There's a door.
Oh, you can't slip under it as a wizard. I gotcha.
All right, quick perception check on this door as my human self.
All right, well, let me describe the kitchen to you now that you're not a dumb lizard. You see... I don't know, are lizards stupid? I just assume that...
lizards
they look stupid.
This is like... this is like stone slab tables. You see a large oven. There are thick steel mixing pots and tools that looks like they could prepare food for dozens of people. There aren't many sharp knives. The couple of knives you see are thick, but they're blunt. There's stains all over the place and a real weird rotting smell pervading the room. And now that you're on the other side of the grate, you see like stains right below this funnel and little bits of food. It almost seems like food and liquid is being passed through that funnel from either the kitchen to the pantry or from the pantry to the kitchen. Very, very strange.
Okay.
Like being shoved through this funnel.
Gross. Suki waves to Ethel from the other side of the gate and shrugs her shoulders. I don't know what this puzzle is, but I'll be right back. And she runs back over the door. That's a natty 19 for a 34 perception at the door.
Perception at the door, you don't hear anything. Or see anything.
I would like to stealthily crack this door and peek out.
Okay. Find out what's on the other side of that door right after this quick break. Everyone knows it's always best to split the party.
To send somebody in alone. Before, and by the way, I want to just say, I'll get the music back here, but before this place is completely covered in Suki's blood, I would like to mention that this map is sick, by the way.
I was going
to
say,
it is
a really
if we haven't
cool
said
map.
Anything, this is a great map.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say anything against the Paizo maps. They were great. This map takes this actual map to a completely different level. Shout out to Dave M, who crushed it.
Yeah, Dave M.
Thank you, Dave M.
Crushed it.
Thanks, Dave.
Crushed.
The M stands for map.
Dave.
Buddy Dave Map did this.
Davey Maps.
Dave Map for nothing.
Well, here's what Davey Maps has in store for you. A room that looks like a mess hall. There are three long tables of this strange dark wood. With matching benches that fill the hall. And the tables and the benches both are scarred from years of use or years of abuse. There's no remnants of any food or dishes or anything. It's actually completely, completely empty, and that stink is still here, the stink that you smelt in the kitchen, that rotting smell. It's not any worse here or any better. And then you see to the south a big double door, the southwestern portion of the room.
Fuck. Really thought that this area was going to lead towards the portcullis.
Never what you expect. Also, did everyone else see the room? Because
I can't see the door. Yeah, the room's not revealed, just so you know, Troy. I'm imagining
it. Revealed like a small, tiny part.
There we go. Now I see.
Everybody shut up.
Suki. This is so funny. Suki, as a stupid lizard, comes into the kitchen, is like, oh, can't get through the door, human, opens the door, and then she's like, up, another door, and now she just goes back to Ethel at the gate. Okay, so...
This looks like a cartoon.
Here's the deal. I kind of thought that it would loop around, but it doesn't seem to be doing that, and I can either kind of maze it myself, but I don't really think that's a good idea. So, do you want to possibly use one of the scrolls that we happened upon so that we could all enter together?
No!
What is... I can... Stop yelling!
Do Gash's form, or I can send...
Yeah.
Egg.
Why don't we send Egg in through the portcullis to see if there's a way to open the portcullis?
Or I can use Egg to send me with Dimension Door.
Or that. I don't know what that means.
Well, whatever spells Egg knows, I know. I only know what Egg knows.
Whatever would make it so that we can all enter together, because you coming in as Gash's form doesn't really help Aldo or Atticus or Ethel. So...
Okay.
You guys are pretty smart.
Oh, wait, I didn't prepare Dimension Door.
Perhaps we just have Egg run in through the portcullis. Can Egg open doors?
Yeah. I mean, Egg is small.
Yeah, so why don't... Maybe Egg can go investigate the room beyond the portcullis, see if there's a way to open it, and then we could... If so, Suki could, tiny, as a lizard, get in and open it.
Well, sorry. Suki.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm trying to, like, look through. Yes. Try to see you from the...
She sticks her hand through
the grate. I'm coming up.
Help.
There was another door in there, you're saying.
Yes, but it leads to the west. So it doesn't lead toward the front of the building, it leads toward the back. And honestly, there's a horrid stench coming from this next room, which appears to be an old mess hall of sorts. I don't have a good feeling about any of this.
What if I were to make you invisible? Could you then move about unseen?
They'd see her open the door.
Oh, yes.
A gust
indeed,
of wind.
But they might
Moon
think, yes.
Wind.
A gust of wind. Especially if you made a wind sound.
Something like...
Oh, my God.
That's very good.
That sounds just like...
Are you an actress?
Well, I've lived a long life. I've had a lot of careers.
Have you ever heard of a Michael Winslow?
No, I can't say that I have.
I know him. He's from where I come from. He's got the same sort of expertise you've just exhibited.
And where's that from?
Oh, I don't want to get into it. Not here on the moon.
Are you from 1980s Australia?
I keep forgetting we're on the moon.
Not here on the Dreamlands moon.
Keep saying moon wind. Yeah, Suki then remembers we're on the moon. She goes, I'm in a moon kitchen. Wow.
Dance, that's a moon spoon.
Honestly, Atticus, at this point, fuck it. Big fuck it vibes from me. If you want to make me invisible, I'm game, as they say.
All right, well, give it a try. Remember, it will not cover the sound of your footfalls. You cannot make the slightest sound or people will know where you are.
I knock a pan onto the ground as you're talking accidentally.
Clank, clank, clank.
Right. Understood.
Perhaps I should save this.
I'm ready.
He draws out a wand of invisibility, wafts it around, S of a B,
she
double
stands
check
there,
on the John Jamsky.
She stands there in like a weird Titanic.
Oh, no, but I can touch you, right? It's through the grate. I just need to touch you with the wand. So he just reaches through. Oh, Bamsky.
And how do I look?
Suki?
No.
Are you there?
I really quietly reach through the grate and grab Atticus.
Get it!
It's just
You're
me.
You're killing him!
You're killing him. Well, it's working then. Move
Surprise.
Quickly. Remember, if you may take any aggressive action against a creature, you will break out of the illusion.
Bye! She's already out of the room.
Suki, you will break out of the illusion!
She's still there?
She's gonna very stealthily push open those double... or one of the double doors and try to just, like, sneak her body through it to get a peek at the next room.
Oh, baby. It's locked. Are you kidding me? You couldn't try that before I used the only casting of invisibility.
You pull back the curtain, we're recording this, it's very late at night.
So, I presume you tried the door.
I didn't. I never said that I did. Can I try? God, I don't have any. Can I try stealth? Can I try to unlock the door?
Are you trained in thievery? You have thieves' tools?
I'm untrained in thievery. I have a plus two.
No.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I go back into the kitchen, and okay. I take two huge pots, and I stand on the table, invisible, and I throw them at the door. Just throwing.
That's an aggressive action. You turn visible.
No.
As the door comes to life, it's a mimic.
my face.
You huck two pans at this door, and they just dong, 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 dong. Nothing happens.
Fuck.
There's no one here.
It's embarrassing that I stood on the table. She gets off and walks back into the kitchen, and she goes...
Well, we wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, she pretends that it was cool.
You just see two pans fly through another room. Ethel. Those pans?
All right. Well, Atticus, I'm sorry that you wasted the spell upon me. I've failed you completely and utterly. I'm going to sit on the floor in here until we figure something out, and I can turn into a bug again and crawl out.
We'll need to try the front entrance, I suppose. We'll wait for you.
Well, I'm invisible, so it doesn't really matter. I'm just going to sit here and wallow.
We've already gone.
You're talking to no one.
Did they turn invisible too? Hello?
Fades out. Right. Fades
let's
back
go
in.
Back to the portcullis.
10 minutes later.
Okay. And is Suki, are you staying there in the kitchen?
Yeah, I'm going to sit under the table in the kitchen in case anybody comes in, but I'm just kind of looking around at stuff.
Okay.
It occurs to me we're waiting 10 minutes for you to turn back into an animal and then walk out of here with us to the front. And you're going to walk into the portcullis as a lizard, right? And see if there's any way to open it from the inside.
Oh, I thought Kate was going to send Egg in and meet me inside.
That's fine. You can both go in. Oh, what do you mean meet you inside? You're going to stay in here the whole time?
Fine, I'm coming out. She comes out.
You're behind a locked door.
I think Suki might just want to be alone for a bit.
I think she wants to be alone. Suki
I think we should let
hey,
her.
You know what? Sydney, if you don't want to fly out to Boulder, that's fine. You definitely wouldn't be involved in anything that happens for the next three sessions.
Sorry,
I'm just
going to
sit here motionless, invisible under this table.
God, that would be so good if I had to miss a show for some reason and I happened to be invisible and in a locked room. And it's like, don't worry about Suki. She's
more
fine.
More logical than any of the other excuses.
Honestly,
you come up with.
I'm not sick for once and
we
having
would probably
diarrhea.
Still give you diarrhea under that table while invisible.
Suki comes back out. She goes,
sudden onset of horrific diarrhea.
Invisible diarrhea.
Suki crawls back out as an insect. And then she turns back into herself and she goes, sorry, I'm having a horrible day. I got shot at with a fireball twice.
Why did you turn back into yourself? Now we have to wait another 10 minutes before you can go through the portcullis. Why do you insist on driving me mad?
She couldn't have told us about a terrible day.
Suki's tearing up. She's tearing up. She goes,
guys, she had massive diarrhea.
I have diarrhea? Is that what's happening?
No! And she storms off. Stop yelling at me!
Where are you going? Come back.
We're invisible. I
you're
thought
the only one
diarrhea.
Who can help us.
What? She's at the point. I totally get it. We're on the moon, and it's probably the pull of the moon. That time of
it's that time of the moon.
Right. Yeah,
time of the moon.
The moon.
Yes. She gives Eris a hug.
It's okay.
All right, and she turns back into an insect. Let's go.
10 minutes later.
10 minutes later, you're all at the portcullis.
We started the episode.
We
have accomplished absolutely nothing.
You've revealed some other rooms inside the prison. You found a side entrance. You
we
went
know
through
it's
a grate
in there.
It's smelly. There's a funnel. There's food and liquid being passed between the pantry and the kitchen through this weird, dirty, old, stinky funnel. And there's a locked door with what looks like in the middle of the prison. And one thing I didn't mention, I may have mentioned as you were flying in, the way the prison is situated is like there's a second floor and then the far end has like maybe a third floor. It kind of... It's very...
So this is like a complex.
It is a complex, but it's the way it's shaped is so strange because it looks like one continuous chunk of stone that just... I think I said it looks like a dead Leviathan lying near the lake. And so that's just to reiterate, that's what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool.
Also, thinking about it, it does make sense that all these doors are locked. It's a fucking prison. Why did I think that they would just open into every... True. Of course they're locked.
Well, perhaps they were on the honor system.
So what do we think? Do we think that this funnel suggests to me that maybe they're getting food from the outside, but there are no guards? Maybe the guards have abandoned the prison or something? Something weird's going on.
Maybe there are no guards in the prison. Maybe it's like automated in some weird way or something.
Maybe the prisoners took over.
Maybe the guards are the friends we made along the way.
I've got to say.
Maybe the guard out front was a prisoner.
I didn't expect anything this strange when that dragon took us to the moon.
Yes.
Cut that sentence.
Maybe that guy found the scrolls.
That's a real surprise.
Maybe that guy found the scrolls like in the prison. Maybe he's like the only person here, but then why is he here? I don't know.
Let us try to get through this portcullis.
So, all right, so you're back at the portcullis, and you...
I mispronounced the word 7 years ago, and we're still doing it.
I know.
That was my fault.
I love doubling down on it. I just love it.
Yeah,
wait, it's portcullis, right? Or
it's portcullis.
But Skid corrected us in a very, very early episode of Giants.
Yeah, Slayer. I gave them bad instructions on how to pronounce it in like episode 3 of the podcast.
He was like, you're pronouncing it incorrectly. It is portcullis.
Yeah.
And so we have pronounced it wrong ever since. It's amazing.
I love it.
All right, so you're there, and it looks like there is some sort of mechanism that lifts the portcullis, but you don't see where that is. It's not in the guardhouse. You're looking through there. Maybe it's on inside here past the portcullis. I mean, that would make more sense. But yeah, what do you want to do?
Send some people, some small
Suki,
food.
Suki, get in there and start seeing Suki. If you can
Pepsi can
it.
Go with you.
Yeah, you can go with the snake and the doll.
Yeah, Pepsi will come with me. Do you want to send Egg?
If you need Egg, I'll send Egg.
We don't right now, so why don't you hold on to Egg, and then I turn into a praying mantis, and I ride on Pepsi's back.
That rocks.
And I'm at the door.
And then do you come back into Suki form?
Well, I can't open a door as a praying mantis, I assume.
That'd be just silly.
Turn back. Yeah. Don't get silly.
Ridiculous. Well, wait. Well, you need someone to open a door. I'll send Egg.
Isn't
all right,
your
send Egg.
Is this big?
It's tiny.
Yeah, Poppet can.
But maybe Poppet can stand on Snake, and Snake can stretch high, and then Poppet can open door.
Boy. Really abandoned all the definite and indefinite articles.
Just
lost access to them.
Pop it big, open door.
Pop it, open door, stay not snake.
I'm going to need a real person to try and open the door. Real
Suki
human
turns back. Suki
boy.
Turns back into Suki.
I'm a real boy.
I'm a real boy. I open the door.
All right, real Suki, go to work.
Suki turns back into Suki. Real quick, I look at the portcullis. Is there a mechanism inside the portcullis door to open it?
You don't see anything.
God's
sakes.
You just see this door to the west.
You know what this is?
You don't see any like lever or keyboard.
This is a flat out Dark Souls level. That's what this is.
Yep.
It's like, oh, here's a portcullis right here and nowhere in sight to open it.
Yep. And I'm about to die 30 times.
Yep. 4 hours later, you'll find the way to open it.
What's everybody else doing while Sook's in there?
Atticus is just standing by the portcullis looking through.
And you're not invisible anymore, right, Sugi?
I might. Oh, I'm not? No.
10 minutes, yeah. So that first shit. 10 minutes, it was over.
God damn. Okay.
All right, so you guys are just hanging at the portcullis looking at
it. Do you want me to come in there? Do you feel weird? I can use gaseous form and come in there. There'll be two of us.
It's okay. I can do this. This is taking a really long time. I thought we would be back on Earth by now.
Troy, sorry. Can you remind us what was going on the second level? There's a second level of the prison.
Yeah, so it looks like now that you've been inside, and you've actually been inside, Ethel, and you see the height of the ceiling in that pantry, you know that there's at least another level above, you would think, unless it's just solid stone up there. But then on the far west of the building, it goes up even higher.
Would I be able to climb up on the thatched roof and then get up on the roof of the main building and see if there is like an open window or a door or something or a crumbled wall?
All right, so climbing up on the thatched roof, easy. When you get up there, and I'm just going to fast forward through this to save you time. When you get up there, you look at the building itself, and there is no discernible handholds to get up higher. It is like so oddly smooth and out of this world that you can't think of how you would even get up and over to start mounting this beast. Meanwhile, Sugi, as you're standing in there with Pepsi, looking at the door, you see something on the door that catches your attention. And it almost looks like it's moving in a way. It's this like pattern that seems to be, are my eyes playing tricks on me? No, it seems to be like moving and you're just drawn to it.
Oh, for God's sake.
Roll a will save.
Oh my God. What the hell is
Why
going?
Is it that they have to have Fascinate in every session of Pathfinder 2E? I don't understand why we have to deal with this.
You will in just a moment.
That's a 29.
A 29. Just check something real quick. Okay. 29. You know you don't want to look at this, so you avert your eyes. There is some sort of spell happening on that door, so you look away.
I look away and talk backward to the group, and I say, there's a spell on the door. I don't know how to open it. I can't look at it. It's drawing me toward it. What do I do?
Don't.
Just don't look at it and open
don't.
It.
Yeah, stop.
And as Sugi has her back to you, talking, and you guys are talking to her through the portcullis, you see a Kukri appear out of thin air, and then a second Kukri just floating there, followed by a third Kukri.
Oh,
and
no.
They
behind
all,
her?
Behind her. And they all, like, rear Sugi. Up to attack. Roll for initiative.
Oh, my God.
Is this three Kukris I see before me?
What?
They're unwielded? Just loose in the air?
Unwielded Kukris.
Oh, my God.
Sugi, no! Sugi, no!
Kukri, no!
Kukri, no!
Let's see if I can do this here.
All right.
Oh no. Disembodied Kukris on the map. Oh no.
Oh no.
What is going on?
Three Kooks.
No.
Just a couple of Kooks. All right.
Too
what
many
did you.
Kooks.
Too many Kooks. What'd you roll, Aldo?
Aldo got a 34.
This is insane. Atticus?
29.
Eris?
25.
Ethel?
32.
Sugi?
Also a 25.
Also a 25. 5. You are in combat. Aldo, you see these things rear up and you get to act first.
Can I do an arcana check to try to see what's going on here?
Absolutely.
Oh my god, man, I continue to crush it. 38.
Ooh.
Wow.
38. Okay. It looks like someone or something has cast spiritual weapon 3 times, and these kukris are appearing, and you can tell they're made out of pure force.
Okay. Someone, there's a source of this. It's a spell. Someone's cast it nearby. Shit. Can I do a perception check to see if I can see the source of this?
Absolutely.
A seek action.
Seek action? That is a 20.
A 20. Yeah, I was waiting for one Suki perception check. Suki was very focused on other things. Had you taken a moment to take in your surroundings, you may have noticed that there were 8 3-inch wide arrow slits on the north and south wall.
Wow.
Looking into this kill room.
Oh.
Kill room.
Kill room? Is that what you called it?
Well, it's just very strange, like those arrow slits facing into this room from beyond.
All right, Aldo points at the hole. Is it murder holes? There's a wizard on the other side somewhere. And, man, I guess that's all I can... Yeah, I'm just going to shout those instructions because there's really nothing much more I can do on this side of the portcullis.
Yeah, it's very tricky. I'm just going to see how this plays out. So now it's Ethel's turn.
Okay. Ethel, hearing this, is going to first action hop down from the roof.
Okay.
Forgot you went up there.
Second and third action, I think he just wants to just grab the portcullis and try to like strength it. Like he doesn't know what else to do. He's just going to try to lift it up.
Absolutely. All right, it's going to be an athletics check.
Okay, that's good.
Make a bend bars lift gates check.
Yeah, bend bars lift gates.
AD&D. All right.
Okay, that was a natural 17. So that was a 35.
Ethel, you reach down. And let me see. 35. Sure, I'm looking at this here. You reach down and you stick your fingers in the soil of the moon. And you like stick it
under the soil
and you just fucking lift it.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I mean, your shirt is like ripping as your muscles bulge.
Oh,
and it's now open. You actually opened it.
Yes!
Straight out of the book.
God, amazing. Sick.
Oh my god.
And that's the end of your turn, right?
Well, if you're going to say that's one action, I'll spend my third action to go. Quickly! I'm holding open the door.
Well, you could move into the room if you want as well. I didn't realize you had
it's going to stay
yeah,
open.
Yeah, it's open now.
Oh,
great.
Oh, you forced it open.
Then, yeah, I'm going to move into the room straight up to one of the murder holes.
Okay. Move up.
Can I see someone waiting to murder us behind
the door? You see, and then they're only 3 inches wide, so you just see some, like, fabric standing there and maybe an eye looking at you.
Okay.
Sorry. 3 inches wide is pretty wide. And if there's 8 of them, that's like...
Nobody knows 3 inches like Joe. Give me it. Joe, what is it?
3 inches.
I always used to have a really firm idea of what 3 inches was because we're in action figures, 3.5 inches.
Yeah, that's right. 3.5. Little G.I. Joe's 3.5 inches. Yeah. All right. So all right, you look in there and you see a face that is like half shrouded, staring at you with wild eyes.
Free action, stare back.
That's not allowed. And one of them is going to go. And the first thing it's going to do is it's going to sustain its spell to activate the Force Kukri.
Force Kuk?
the Force Kook, and this is going to be a Kook against Sook.
Kook against Sook.
Kook against Sook.
Kook against Sook.
Just looking for my notes here. Okay. Attack roll. That is going to be a, 32 to hit.
Yes. Wowza.
Okay. That's going to be, 20 points of force damage.
Ooh, with a fucking kukri? Oh my God.
With a fucking kukri. 20 points of force damage. And then, what is the strange test? Okay. Then you need to give me a will save.
Okay, I'm not looking at the door.
No, I know. And okay. That's smart. Glad you did.
Nat 20.
Ooh, nice.
36.
You're all right. And you, Joe, you said, why do they always put fascinated in a combat? Because if you are fascinated, you take a penalty to your perception checks, which would have affected her initiative. And if more of you are in there, you know, it just would have slowed you down. That's the only thing. That, and then the fascinated goes away.
Was that another save against fascinate, though?
No, that was a save against something else.
Oh, okay.
That you
something
don't have.
Truly horrible.
Something truly horrible. It is Atticus's turn. Atticus, the portcullis is open. You see three flying kukri.
And I don't. Would I know enough about this? Do I know enough about this spell? What is it? Spiritual weapon. That, like, can the weapon be damaged or stopped in any way without beyond disabling the caster?
Recall knowledge.
But is it divine?
No, you could do divine or occult. You could do occult. Yeah.
Okay.
You can always roll Arcana, but in this case, occult would be fine.
I'll do occult. That is a 38.
Yeah, so it is, in this case, it is a spell that has to be sustained. So if you can take out the caster, then the caster can no longer sustain the spell. But the weapon itself is made of pure force, and it cannot be damaged. Unless you have something that can damage force.
Which you might.
Okay. Atticus is going to move up. He's going to move up and... Man, this is brutal. He's got to get... Actually, no, he's not. He's not going to move up. Just looking through this thing, he's going to... This is awful. I mean, when you're in a kill room, it's like it's the absolute worst. We have to get out of the kill room. I just don't have a means to kill. So would it be safe to say that I have line of sight to the enemies for the purposes of spell casting?
If you were to move into the room and get close to those eye holes, you know, get within sight of those eye holes, you see, like where Ethel, you're looking to the north. You don't see anybody in that room to the north, but to the south, you do.
Oh, Suki. I'm thinking it's in the back wall.
Wasn't I looking directly at somebody?
No, the back wall is where the door is. Sorry. Ethel, I'm sorry. I thought you went to the south. I wasn't watching where you went.
Got it. Okay,
just
so
take
we were
away
just...
the flavor of you looking face-to-face. If you want to move to the south to be right up to the hole, you can.
I misunderstood the description. The murder holes are on the north and south. The door is on the west.
Yes.
I'll move to the south to preserve the place.
Sure.
Atticus is going to all right, so he will move in. He will look at these things. God, this is brutal. He's going to deliberately not look at the door. He's going to avert his eyes from that since Suki made that clear that there's a spell cast on it. And he's going to say, I will seal the murder holes. Open the door. Get them. And he's going to cast like a wall of stone into the murder holes. Neat. That just shump, 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 closes them all up with the same material that the wall is made of, blocking line of sight
nice.
From them to us.
Amazing.
That's really right. cool, but it ruined the really cool thing I was going to do.
Well, I mean, he can also say behind you, like, it's an illusion. However... You know, once you break it, they know. So, like, I assume the door's locked, but, like, you know, I don't know what else to do.
Okay. All right. So you throw up an illusion, which is a wall of stone, and you put it on your side.
He adds on, like, a little perform check, you know, to be like, I'll seal the holes. Go in the door. So, like, maybe they won't double check it. You know what I mean? And just think it really is sealed. Because when it closes up, they can't see us anymore.
Okay. That's amazing. Okay. And now... All right. So as you do that... So they can't see you.
Right. I mean, they can interact with it or do a spend a seek action to test if it really is sealed off. You know, mm-hmm. The question is just, would they be dumb enough to assume it is and... try to move away from the door or get out of there or something, you know what I mean? Or but would they just they be just, like, I'll poke through it?
Even if they
it.
Knew it was an illusion, they still wouldn't be able to see through it, right?
Correct. Yeah, well, no. They will if they disbelieve it. Oh. But they have to, like, at least spend an action to
interact with it. And, like, they wouldn't. I don't think they'd be like, there's a wall there now. They wouldn't poke through the wall. They have no reason to think it's
knowing you're in a world where wizards can create a wall of stone easily, just like close things off.
All right. So, Ethel, you see, this is very interesting. You see one of what looks like three people in this room walk up to the door, second action, open the door, and then leave that room.
Awesome.
And then it is, you see another one do the exact same thing, except it doesn't, doesn't have to open the door because the door is open. So there's only one remaining in that room. And now it's Eris's turn.
Did you say we can hit the Kukris with force damage and then they'll stop being...
No, I said, unless you have something that can damage force, which your spell would say, like, this damages force, and I didn't think you would then.
Well, because magic missile has the force trait. Effects with this trait deal force damage.
Right, but that's presupposing that force kill damages force, and I don't know if that's necessarily true. You would need to have something that, like, says in the descriptor it damages force.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if that exists in the game.
But these...
Also, quick note on those Kukris. Did they sustain the spell?
Yeah.
As part of this opening the door floating. And leaving?
Yeah, like no, they didn't. They couldn't attack with it because they couldn't see you, and they sustained it the previous round, so now at the end of this turn, two of the Kukris disappear.
Okay, oh, nice. So two of the Kukris disappear, and there's one left. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you have Disintegrate, that would probably work.
I don't
you
have Disintegrate. Disintegrate,
something like that.
I'm going to... I'm going to cast Haste on Ethel.
Yes.
Nice. Just mark that. And then I'm still worried about the Kukri. It did a good amount of damage to Pepsi. Not Pepsi. I'm just reading on the thing.
Sure
not
did.
Pepsi. Suki. So I'm going to cast Needle of Vengeance. So she reaches out and she, like, says your name, like, Suki, I got you, girl. So she casts Needle of Vengeance on you, so if anything, like, hits you, or no, wait, it takes mental damage.
Yeah.
And it's a Kukri.
But the person would take it who's casting the spell.
Would they?
Right?
I mean, guess they're the ones that are
hurting
attacking
me.
You.
Yeah.
Right?
So, well, here's the problem.
Right.
We've been doing Needle of Vengeance wrong. Needle of Vengeance is a targeted spell. You must target an enemy.
Oh.
I target one enemy. This says a long jagged needle jabs into the target's foe, psyche.
Target foe's psyche.
I'm supposed to name a specifically forbidden creature, myself or one of my allies. The target takes 10 mental damage anytime it uses a hostile action. Oh, this wording is confusing.
Does yours say target's foe or target foes?
Target foes.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it is worded weird, but yeah, you're targeting an enemy, and then whenever they try to attack, they get that needle damage.
Yeah, so you pick one enemy, and whenever that enemy attacks whoever you name, they take damage.
All right, well, delete that then.
That's cool. You can hide in that too. That's a cool spell.
Yeah.
So I spent two actions casting haste, and I'm gonna spend one more action raising shield.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, smart. You don't know what's going on
such
here.
Such a weird, awful, terrible situation. I have run these like once or twice, like designed kill rooms against PCs, and you're just like, as a GM, I'm even like, I have no idea how they're going to get out of this. Like, well-designed kill rooms are awful.
Yeah, I ran one in Jade Regent, now that I'm thinking about it, in book four.
I also want to spend a free action for Eris to ovulate after she saw Ethel lift
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Definitely needed an action.
As soon as Troy said his shirt rips, I was like, oh, Eris is like unable to do a combat now.
Moon rolls. I think you're stupefied one.
Yeah. You're fascinated. Somehow you're fascinated.
Yep.
I should say,
don't look at the door.
That hypnotic pattern that was on the door wasn't sustained either, so it's no longer there if you side-eye.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So it is now Suki's turn to end the round.
Yeah. Suki sees, peeks at the door, notices it's not there, and goes, booyah! And she kicks the door open.
And your foot just... boom. It stops
right out of its heavy metal door.
Ow!
It appears to be locked.
Okay.
Get the door open!
I tried. It's locked. I don't have thieves' tools. I'm not trained in thievery. I'm not that strong.
I also think you moved the knife.
What was that?
You stood on the knife.
I also think, point of order, you stood on the knife.
I have a question. I was looking at my Dispel Magic. It's only a level 2, so I just want to make sure this is correct if I try to cast it. It's my base bonus and ability bonus is the spell casting DC that you would go against, correct?
Attempt a counteract check against the target if you successfully counteract a magic item. The item. No, we're not doing that. So it's just a counteract check against... target, which is me, the spellcaster.
Oh, so I'm making the check.
Yeah, you're making the check, just like Atticus did last week.
So I'm rolling and adding.
Joe, what did you use for
I
your
used my spell attack roll, which is essentially your proficiency bonus plus your primary casting stat. What, you know, do you have any spells that you cast at people that are attacks that don't require a save?
Yeah.
So what is that number? It should be like plus 15 for you, probably. Plus 16, something
like
that.
Yeah, it's plus 16.
Yeah.
So then I'm just rolling a d20 and doing the plus 16?
I guess. What are you trying to do? Counteract?
Dispel magic.
Trying to dispel the kukri. Okay.
The kukri.
Great.
All right, and dispel magic is a level 2 spell.
Yes.
So you're using that as the number.
For the counteract.
For the counteract.
All right, so go ahead. Roll plus and plus 16.
Oh, natty 18 plus 16.
34.
Yes.
All right, so you rolled a 34, and so it's going to be against the DC of the caster, right?
Yeah.
This is amazing what you guys are doing to this encounter. all right, so that is enough to dispel the kukri.
Oh, that is so cool.
Beautiful.
God, nice. Remember how hard it was in 1E to ever use dispel magic to dispel anything?
Never worked.
Yeah,
so
well, spiritual
cool
weapon
that
is
worked.
A second level spell, so I mean, it couldn't have been easier.
Perfect.
Unless I did something wrong, but yeah, no, second.
Yeah,
second.
That's my whole turn. I tried to kick the door, and then I dispelled it, and then she turns around, she says, "Someone get this door open, quick.
Move out of the way."
Someone get this door open quick. All right, it's round 2, and it's Aldo's turn.
I'm gonna delay.
Yeah. Okay, and it's delay. What is that again? Is it one action or two actions?
Free.
It's free.
It's free.
Okay.
It's the same as
I'm thinking of ready. Sorry.
Ready is two.
Ready is two actions.
Ethel.
Do I see any of the guys in the room still through this murder hole?
There's one.
Okay. Ethel is going to first action draw his hatchet.
Okay.
Second action, throw it through the murder hole at the guy.
Nice.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to give him a little bit of cover. Okay. I'm going to give him standard cover, actually. But fire away. Got good aim.
Fire away. That's going to be a 24 to hit.
That was a miss.
Okay, the hatchet returns to my hand.
Amazing.
And I throw it again.
It returns width-wise and doesn't fit through the murder hole.
Damn it.
Oh, so you catch it and fucking fire it back? Amazing. Yeah. So cool.
This one's going to miss, too. I'm just going to 21. Yeah.
21's a miss, yeah.
Okay, that is my. Those are my actions.
Is the door open yet?
All right, well, you see the third one run out of the room. So the guy who just threw the hatchet at also runs out of the room.
Coward!
Coward!
Come and
back, you coward!
It is Atticus's turn.
Atticus is going to step up and attempt to disable the device.
All right, and your master in, excuse me, you are trained in thievery and have thieves' tools, right?
Correct. I don't know if the lock requires an expert at this level. I'm worried that might be the case.
This particular one, let's roll a check and see what happens.
Okay, here we go. That is a 26.
You went too quickly. 26. Now, you know, I'm sure you know, oftentimes when you're trying to pick locks, you have to do multiple successful checks, and criticals give you two successes. In this case, you have one success towards picking the lock.
It seems to be working. I just need a moment.
Yeah, it's like the little fucking tumbler. What is it called? Tumblers. You got one.
Work the lock.
I'll tumbler for you.
I'll tumbler for you. Do you have any other actions? Yeah? Can you do another check?
Actually, I forgot because I'm not very good at this. It is a 27. If that happens to be a crit, I highly doubt it.
It is not.
Okay. I forgot the item bonus. All right. No, that was it. Disabling a device is two actions. So it's not like you can just like one action disable, one action disable, one action disable.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
It's brutal.
Trying to do it in combat. I mean,
it's
that's
supposed
what makes
to be non-combat.
Yeah.
It does make sense, though. Like, it's, you know, come on. It's Vasquez, like sealing the door, right? It's just like.
Yeah.
Well, that's
even
what
that
makes
is reverse.
That's right, amazing. No, it's reverse, but you can feel that pressure. He's like, hurry up. He's like, I'm working on it. Hurry up. I'm going. You know what I mean? It's just like, can only go. And it's such precise work.
All right. Well, that's what makes it so cool is because, like, if you're trapped in here and you're just getting hacked and spelled through these murder holes and you can't even open the door, or you're making these checks one round at a time to try and break through to see what's going on. But the good news is they have left the room. And the one that just ran out readied an action and uses those two actions right now to open the door.
Oh, magic is now!
Oh, what are those?
Let's take a peek at foes that you have fought several times now, but these ones look a little bit different. And you're level 9, so can you curb stomp them, or do they have more to give? Right out the gate, the one standing right at the door goes to cast a spell on Atticus. Give me a fortitude save. Touches you.
Fortitude save. Trying to see if I have any juice here. Okay, I will roll the fortitude save. Natural 1.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, Joe. You are quite ice cold.
Yeah, I'm quite ice cold, and I presume that is there a new hero point?
New session.
It's a new episode.
It's a new session.
It's the same sort of combat, but I don't know.
Same sort of combat.
I say yes.
New episode.
I give myself a new one every episode.
Yes, I will say, and I mentioned this offhanded to Joe the other day. Not be doing this in Gatewalkers. The hero points are going to be very, very different. One would say non-existent.
Cue the Matthew eye roll, which is so warranted. It's
almost non-existent.
Jared would give it to us.
Yeah, Jared would give it to us.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to reroll it, go ahead. You have the, in this current iteration of the game, you have a hero point every session.
In that case, I will use it.
Which, by the way, would be every hour and a half you get a hero point.
Yeah, it doesn't work quite as well as the game intends. You're not supposed to get a hero point every hour on the hour when you play. But
well, you're not supposed to do this on TV, so...
That's true. That's true. That is now a 25.
Okay. Fail, not a critical fail. So you'll take 17 points of damage from a heightened chill touch.
Oh, dear. Chill touch.
That would have been 34 points of damage.
Ooh.
Instead, a measly 17. And that was the one right here to the south.
I'm going to take my turn now.
Okay.
The one to the south opened the door?
No, the one to the north opened the door here. And
that,
this one.
Oh, that was a readied action. So that was the end of his turn. Okay.
Yeah, and then go ahead, Aldo. You're good.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry. So his turn is over because he only took two actions.
Yeah, no, I know. I want to stay there on the other side of the
area. Okay.
Okay. Aldo, he's going to throw a bottled lightning at the dude in the middle.
Yes!
Okay.
Okay, that is a 29 to hit.
29 to hit. You should see the tabs I have going on.
I do not envy you right now.
29 to hit is a hit.
Okay, awesome. Bottled lightning. Thunderstruck! Oh, nice. Okay, that is... Oh, come on, man. Okay. That is 15 points of damage. 4 points of splash damage to the guys on either side. And the guy in the middle is flat-footed.
Awesome.
Okay.
I am now, with my second action, going to throw a Dread Ampule at the guy in the middle. Crushing it. That's a 28 against flat-footed. That should be a hit.
28 against flat-footed is a hit.
Wow, okay. Amazing.
Nice.
Max damage.
Oh.
That is 16 points of mental damage. 4 points of mental damage to either guy on the side of him.
Oh, and the guy mental in the middle. Splash damage?
Yeah.
What is that? Like, how does that manifest?
It's just like a shockwave of brain power.
They just see it's empathetic pain. You just see
like a shockwave of cringe humor. And he is frightened one, the guy in the middle, as well as flat-footed.
Okay.
And... with my final action, I am going to use my occult pendant and give guidance to Ethel.
Guidance to Ethel. Amazing. All right, it is the denizen of Lang's turn. You just fucked up. And he is going to, he's actually going to stand right there and cast a spell on Atticus. So Atticus, give me a will save.
Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on.
Yes!
Did you say will save?
I did.
That's 34.
Ooh!
34. Okay. Alright, so that is a success. So in terms of damage, you're going to take... All right, so I cast Phantom Pain on you. So it's full initial, but no persistent. So in this case, full initial.
Do you remember when you interpreted that as max damage?
Max,
I remember.
Full
that.
Initial.
Yeah, no, I have to roll it. All right, so that's still going to be 84 damage.
Wow. Holy poop on a success.
Which is something I wasn't doing correctly in the past. That's 23 points of damage. And you don't get the persistent damage on a success, and the spell ends immediately. So you just feel
that's a great spell. Is that an illusion spell? I need. It's a Phantom Pain.
Phantom Pain. Yeah, it is a illusion, mental, non-lethal. Yeah, illusion.
You must get that spell.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And I mean, I've been using it left and right, and not even dealing the full damage. And on a failure, that persistent is brutal. I mean, it fucked up Ethelyn. several combats in the past. All right, so that was his two actions. And likewise, I just I want to stay there right now. I'm not going to spend a third action. Actually, no, I might as well just take an attack because I haven't used the attack trait. So I'll go ahead and just try and stab you with a kukri. And that's going to be a 30 for kuk.
Yeah.
All right, that is going to be 16 points of regular slashing damage plus 1d6 persistent bleed.
Oh, he's going down.
Those Kukris are nasty. All right.
Oh, man. Brutal.
1d6 persistent bleed. This is a very interesting combat that has taken a weird turn here, but I still think you guys have the upper hand. It is now Eris's turn.
Damn it. Okay.
Shit.
So I need to move because a lot of my spells, I just need to be closer and I'm just not sure what I want to do. So I see that Atticus hit the one in the middle. That's great. I also see these guys have like rock candy stabs.
They do.
Yes.
Yeah. Are they like...
Let's stir that into a cup of coffee.
Different in any way? They also... Did they all have like weird pincer mouths?
Yeah, and you've seen this before. Like when they lower their veils, they kind of look like Baraka from Mortal Kombat, if that reference means it.
Nope.
Google it.
So I'm wondering. Well, Alina? No, that's not. So I need to move up at least to here to do things that I want to do.
So you move just into the kill room to the north of the entrance.
Yeah. So, and then I also want to take out my staff, which I never use because I forget about it. But I have a staff of necromancy with like skulls and cool stuff on it. Nice. But that's an action. So before I do what I want to do with it, I'm going to use my final action to try to demoralize the one that's like directly to the west of me in a straight line. With my intimidating glare. So without even words, I just take out my staff, point it directly at it, give it a good glare.
Just because it's not clear here on the Johnski, the only one you can see because of the door is the one that's right in front of Atticus. So just demoralize that one.
Okay, I'll demoralize that one.
Oh, but that's only going to give you frightened one?
Yeah, he's already
frightened. So
the door here is very artistic, but it's not really clear. Like, it's only a 5-foot door in front of
us. I take back my compliment on the map.
This map sucks. No, I'm kidding. All right. Well, shit.
That Dave map was full of shit.
Yeah, you got to change your name now.
What the heck do I want to cast on it then? Let's see, what do I got here?
You know what? Go ahead and do it. I'm looking at the original map, and it is a 10-foot door that kind of overlaps. The space is weird, so that's fine. Go ahead and demoralize.
Yeah. I'm going to try to demoralize you with my gaze. Natural 17. A 17, so that's a 34.
Ooh. He is demoralized.
Nice. Frightened one.
Frightened one, like his buddy to the south. All right, BTT's giving me a little trouble here, but I will get that on shortly. In the meantime, it's Suki and Pepsi's turn.
Suki and Pepsi are at it again. Suki is going to cast Electric Arc at the two, one in the middle and the one to the south. And you have to make a reflex. Sorry, 25 DC.
DC 25 reflex save. Let me just see here their reactions. Attack you for casting a spell. No, you're good. All right, so a couple reflex saves. All right, the one in front of Atticus rolls a 24, and the one below rolls a 31.
Oof. Okay, so 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 points of damage to... 13 points of damage to the one that failed, and half of that to...
Six.
Yeah. Because it's not a crit success. So yeah, just half of that.
That damage seems low. Is that because it's not heightened?
It's... Oh, actually, sorry. It's one more d4. I have four in front of me, but it's five.
Okay.
It's three. What did I say? Add three to what I said.
Okay, 16.
So three more damage and one more damage, essentially.
Yeah. So not a ton.
It's 16 and 8 now.
Gotcha.
So okay. Two more damage to the one that saved.
Perfect.
Every point counts. And then for that, those were two actions for my third. Harasadabara. And Pepsi's going to slither on in and attack the one in the center that's flat-footed.
Okay, that would he would have to use a tumble-through action to walk through people. You can walk through your ally. You have to use a tumble-through action to walk through an enemy.
Even as a snake? Even as like a tiny creature?
He's not a tiny creature. He's the size of a halfling. He's the size of a hobbit.
I keep forgetting.
I think he's technically small in the game, yeah. So
yeah,
if he was tiny, I didn't think tiny. I think he can't move through. I don't know, maybe. Meditative.
Okay, so then would that be a move action and then he has to take a second action to get in there, you're saying?
Tumble through is an action. No, part of the movement is the tumble through action. But
got it.
So it's, what is it, athletics against...
It's acrobatics against reflex DC.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so where are acrobatics?
Athletics. He's really good at acrobatics. That's a natural 18 for a 32.
Yeah, you get through with ease, which you should.
Awesome.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
So now you're back there and you're flanking with Atticus, but that's your final action, right? Or no, you have three actions.
No, I only have two actions. It's the move, and then that was his second. I made a mistake. He gets two actions. His action, his third action is like my command of him. We share that action. So, well, I had to read a bunch of rules.
You know, wait, why can't Pepsi attack?
He only gets two actions. We share like the command animal.
He moved?
He moved. He took the... Oh, no, you're right. He should get his attack. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you get one attack. And this guy's already flat-footed, so...
Tumble through is not an additional action to the stride. You stride as part of a tumble through action.
Right.
Got it. You're trying to trick me, Troy.
Yeah, stop trying to fool people.
That's going to be 27.
27 in this state is a hit.
Nice. Woo!
What a difference. Chomp, chomp. Ninth level makes.
Yeah.
That's 10 points of piercing damage as the snake bites your gross leg.
Nice. Ah! All right, Sook. That is the end of that round, and it is now Ethel's turn. Ethel, you get up and mash.
Will you allow me, if I stand in this northern spot, will I be able to mash this guy in the center?
Yes, looking at going back to the original Pathfinder map, you would be able to see him. It's just here, it's like I said.
No, the guy in the center, he said. The guy in the center.
The guy in the center from the north? Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
He stood to the north of Atticus.
Yeah, so I'll step to the north of Atticus. I'll drop my hatchet and draw my warhammer with the other hand, so I have the scimitar and the warhammer out.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do a double slice.
Nice.
Double slice!
Double slice.
Twice as nice.
Okay, well, I'm going to use a hero point.
That's a nice one.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's much better. Okay, so with the Warhammer, that's going to be a 28 to hit, and the Scimitar is going to be a 35 to hit.
Oh, man. Two hits. That's
great. Double slice, double slice.
It's got to be a near crit on this second.
Yeah, was it a crit?
Wait, you said 35?
It's flat-footed.
He's flat-footed. The second one is a crit. Yeah.
Yes. Amazing.
Right. Yeah.
So it up.
Warhammer damage is 16 points of bludgeoning.
Okay.
And then with the scimitar, let's get a couple of d6s. 20 points of damage on the scimitar.
He's very, very dead.
Yeah!
Yeah, kill these guys.
Amazing.
He's dead.
That body falls to the ground. Amazing. Do you still have an action left?
Nope. Move. Double slice.
Okay, and which number? Okay, so the one that is now standing right next to you, Ethel, will cast a spell. Actually... That would provoke. Yeah, he's going to do it anyways. He's going to cast a spell on you, so go ahead and take your attack of opportunity.
Doing the attack of opportunity with the scimitar.
Oh, come on. Oh, this would be so beautiful. Come on.
No. That is, however, 27 to hit.
27 hits.
Okay, that'll be 11 points of damage.
Okay, 11 points of damage. Now give me a will save. Fortitude save.
Fortitude.
40.
Natty 19. 36.
36 or 38?
36.
And my DCs go down because of frightened as well, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that is a critical success.
Yes!
And that all goes back to Eris and her demoralized.
1, 2. We're such a great team.
He steps back.
Ethel looks back at you, and in you see his muscles ripple through the rips in his shirt. He's like, thanks.
The other fallopian tube also ovulates.
That's how it happens.
Oh, man.
That's definitely how it works.
That's just science.
There's two tubes, so.
It's weird things going on in the moon.
We are in a dreamland.
True.
All right, there are two of these denizens of Lang left. You guys are obviously a lot more powerful now. It is Atticus's turn. Took a beating there.
Yeah, Atticus is on death's door. He stumbles back behind Ethel, grateful for Ethel's brawn and protection, and he immediately casts invisibility on himself. Just vanishes. He's got to get out of there. And he will then roll a... you want me to roll the D6, or do you want to roll it?
I rolled it. You take 2 points of damage. You can roll the recovery check.
I will roll the recovery check. 15.
Nice.
Natural 15.
Nice.
Amazing.
All right. That wasn't bad at all. Just an extra 2 points of damage.
Not too bad at all.
You're no longer bleeding. Okay. All right. It is the other denizen of Lang's turn. Where is he? Down bottom. All right. He is going to slide to flanking? No. He's going to stay right there, and he is going to touch Suki. Suki, give me a fortitude save.
Oh, boy.
You deuce.
Oh, boy.
Zoinks!
Oh, fudge.
Except she didn't say fudge.
Nice one, Troy.
16, she says nervously.
16. Final answer?
Yes.
Final answer means you cannot use your hero point. That is a critical fail.
Oh, I should have used my hero point! Sucky.
You're going to be fine. It's just damage. You'll be fine.
I'm so hurt.
Oh, are you really very hurt?
No, I'm healed up, but I'm about to be back where I started.
All right, let's see here. This is what Atticus staved off. It is going to be 26 points of cold damage.
Ooh. Okay.
Honestly, the 34 I would have taken, I don't think I would have spent the hero point if I knew that that's what it was.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It still stings. Ow!
And then he goes to swing his Kukri at you for good measure and rolls a 29.
My hero, I was freaking out. That hits.
All right, that's going to be 15 points of regular damage, or slashing damage, I should say, and you are bleeding. These guys still pack a nice little pow, so you got to kill them before they kill you.
Sorry, what was that? What was the damage?
15 points 15. Of slashing, and then you'll take bleed on your turn. Aldo, you're up.
All right, Aldo is going to do the same sequence again. Going to toss bottled lightning at the guy that just attacked Suki. I can't believe this. Natural 19. That is a 36 to hit.
Yes.
All right. He is not flat-footed, but that is a hit.
Okay.
So he'll be flat-footed very soon.
Okay. That is 7 points of electric damage. Is no... other enemies within hit the splash range, so that's it, but he is flat-footed now. And now, against his flat-footed AC, I am going to attempt to throw a Dread Ampule. I'm going to do my hero point, which I haven't even used one in several episodes.
You haven't.
You can rest assured. That did not do much better. Okay, so that is a miss. That is a 14 to hit.
Okay, that would be a critical fail, which means he won't take the splash damage.
That's right. And, And then with my final action, I am going to use the occult pendant, this time to give guidance to Suki.
Oh, thank you.
And I think it was I did it before, but that was over an hour ago, I believe. So
yeah,
you should be eligible for my guidance.
Yeah, that was in the last combat, and you guys did take an hour between combats. Great. It is Eris's turn.
All right. There's two of my friends in my line now of what I was going to do last time with my staff. I'm going to keep my staff in my one hand, though, and not do what I was going to do. I'm going to cast Guidance on myself. One action. Reach out to the Baba Yaga. Please help me. And then I'm going to spend two actions to cast. Whoop, whoop, spirit object on the rock candy staff that the dead guy was rock candy holding.
Nice.
The rock candy staff grows chicken legs.
There we go.
Points itself at the denizen right next to it and just jams itself at it.
All right, so if you cast it on something that someone is holding, does that make any difference? Like if he's holding it
if he's dead?
Oh, you're talking about the dead guy.
Yeah, the one that dropped onto the ground.
I got you. All right, so you're animating the weapon that fell out of his hand.
I like where your head's at, Troy. I like the idea of somebody holding a spear or a staff and then being like, oh my God! Chicken legs come out of it.
Yeah, no.
So thanks for that.
Even better. All right, so you're going to attack the guy to the south. Go ahead and roll the attack.
It's going to make a melee attack. I'm going to do, bludgeoning seems to make sense on the guy, and it's a spell attack roll.
Yeah, and he's flat-footed, thanks to Skid.
Flat-footed, and I've got guidance. Natural 18.
Yes!
So that's a 36.
A 36?
With my plus one.
That's a critical hit.
Yes!
Kate's headphones flew off her head in the celebration.
Oh, God, what does that mean? Okay, wait, hold on.
Chicken right. Staff.
So... it's 5d4 plus 4, so it's double that, right? For a critical success.
It's 5d4 plus 4, and then double it.
Yeah.
It takes double damage. I think that's all that happens. I don't have 5d4. I'm using the computer.
Where you roll it online? Oh, yeah, do it on the computer. Yeah, you
got it. 13, so that's 26 total.
Double. Well, 5d4.
Nice.
5d4 plus 4?
5d4 plus 4 is 13. It automatically adds it all together.
Oh, it adds the plus 4.
So 26 altogether of damage.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Chicken Rock Candy is back.
Hell
Chicken
yeah.
Rock Candy.
Now you need a new t-shirt.
All right, amazing. Suki, you have guidance and you are up.
All right. Suki is going to... whoa. Suki is going to use electric arc. She's going to take a step back towards the center. She did not, before she cast that, she did not like getting hit by the rock candy spear.
Yeah.
And she is going to cast electric arc on both of these Johns. Here we go.
Nice, Sid.
Make a reflex save.
Yes, reflex save. Both of these Johns. All right, the one to the south, 26. And the one to the north, 31.
Okay, so they both...
same as last time.
Yeah, same rolls as last time.
No, the one to the south passes this time. He rolled the 24 last time. But they are going to take half damage of my little d4s. That's a 4, 5, 6, 7.
Suki, never mind.
8, 9, 10. Can't read, that dice is so dark. 13, so half of 13, which is 5?
No, 6.
6.
And they both take it, because they both passed.
They both take it.
Step back, two action, electric arc, and we kick it to the next round. Ethel.
Come on, Ethel.
Smash
the house, please.
Bring us home.
Okay, Ethel is going to step in, standing atop the body of the last denizen he felled.
You know what, now that you're in there, I can show you some more of the room.
You
see that hallway stretches down to the south. And there are two doors, one that is open right here, 15 feet away from you. That's probably, I would assume, the room that they came out of. And then another small door to the south.
Great. All right. Ethel is going to first go after the denizen to the south. I'm going to double slice. I'm assuming this guy has some hit points left. Okay. Hatch, Warhammer and Scimitar.
Here we go. Been hot.
Crack die.
It's flat-footed.
That's going to be, for the Warhammer, that's a 30 to hit. For the Scimitar, that is a... Scimitar is a plus 18. 25 to hit.
A hit, and because of flat-footed, a hit.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Exactly a hit. Because of
16 points of bludgeoning damage. Minimum damage. And 8 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
How's he looking?
Crazy. Looks like he's on his last legs.
Okay, he's flat-footed. I'm going again with the... Oh, more damage. Okay, I'm going again with the Warhammer.
Okay.
Natural 20.
Oh, my God! You've got to be kidding me!
Yes!
You've got to be kidding me!
But you wouldn't have wanted to waste the beheading on an enemy with on its last legs, you know? Yeah.
I know. Oh, God.
That's one day. That's so painful.
It's going to happen, man, and it's going to be beautiful.
Okay.
All right, so... It's going to kill him, but
19,
let's see.
19 points of bludgeoning damage. Should I cave his head in?
Well, you rolled a crit, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. 38 points of bludgeoning.
I just
want to
see
damage.
If there's any extra effects.
He's knocked prone.
For sure.
Oh, I bet he is.
I bet
That's
he
the
is.
Least of his worries.
Yeah, he is dead, but we should do a fan crit just to make sure you don't have any bonus Johns.
Oh, right. I'm a... It was a natural 20.
I completely forgot. Sorry. Okay, this one from Eden in Melbourne, Australia.
Eden. Melbourne.
Okay.
Melbourne.
Boomerang.
Flat white.
Deal double damage to your intended target. Your weapon is temporarily imbued with the returning weapon properties.
Oh,
make a free ranged strike against any enemy within 30 feet at the same multiple attack penalty as the previous strike. Which is your full attack. This range does
whatever the
that was. Oh, that's right. This range does not.
To just fucking throw the Warhammer now.
I'm going to fucking throw the Warhammer at the other guy's head.
This is like an X-Men fight.
Yeah, just coming in really.
I remember
I sealed the wall earlier. It's like, it's totally X-Men fight.
Well, it's like Thor.
I mean, exactly. It all comes back to Thor.
Ethel is in full beast mode. Yeah,
well,
Ethel is
killing
it. Oh, you just roll a natural one.
Oh, no.
Oh, I spoke too soon. But that doesn't count on a fumble because it was like part of the crit, right? Yeah, you can't fumble on a crit, right?
It's only up to one person on this call.
I mean, of course. It was an attack. We have to see what happens now.
Do I confirm the fumble? I can't remember our rules here.
No, we can just make them up as we go.
This one from Joseph Talavera in Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Joseph.
Joe's gonna roll.
Okay.
What?
The gods that hold your fate in their hands are imperfect and often fumble themselves. Joe makes all of your rolls for the next 1d4 rolls.
Oh my god, he gets the 4-point kill.
That's so, the most brutal fumble we've had.
What if Joe rolls the 20 on
if
the...
I roll the vorpal 20.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, it's going to happen. All right, Joe, roll a D. I'm going to have you roll the D4 to see how many rounds.
All right, D4. Three rounds.
All right, so presumably the remainder of the combat.
Oh my god,
this is hilarious. Okay, and that was your last action. So now...
Just put my dice away.
See here. It is my denizen's turn. And he is right next to you, Ethel.
The Warhammer does come back into my hand.
It does.
It does. Returning. It already had the returning property, right?
Well, no, the hatchet
has
it.
I didn't realize that. I thought it already had that property. Okay.
Okay, he is just going to start with a Kukri attack. Brutal. 25 to hit.
Miss.
And then Kukri again at 2. And, I'm just going to attack 3 times here just to get it out of the way. Right, that's a 19, but it's agile. Sorry. Brand 25 to hit.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's his turn. That's the last guy. Rough shape. It is Atticus's turn.
Man, this is Atticus is. He was going into full self-preservation mode, but we have to stop playing this episode. So he is going to do his best to deal damage. So he's going to come out of invisibility with almost no hit points and do a telekinetic projectile at the guy in the back corner. Okay. And just try to hit him. Here we go. Miss. God damn it. Natural 5. And that's his turn. I saved on the persistent before, so I'm good.
Okay, Aldo.
All right, Aldo is going to...
And you're no longer invisible.
Step up into the room, edging his way past Atticus next to Suki to get a clear view of the final remaining guy. And he's going to do his normal thing. He's going to throw a bottle of lightning. Oh, that's a 19 to hit. That's not good.
No, nope, you get the splash.
Okay, so that is 5 points of splash damage.
Okay.
And he's going to throw another bottle of lightning. 20. So that's another 5 splash damage.
Okay, that adds up.
And that's it.
Okay, that's Aldo's turn, and now it is Eris's turn.
All right, I'm telekinetic projectiling at it. So let's go.
Let's see what you got.
That's a natural 9. So that's a 26 to hit.
26 with the frightened.
No, that's not math.
Actually, he's 17. Not frightened anymore.
It's 23 to hit.
Oh, no, that's a miss.
I'm going to use my hero point.
Okay. Okay.
God, I use rolled it. A 9 again.
Oh, no.
Frick. Okay. One more action. Well, so that didn't work. I've got one more action left. What can I do? Frick. I didn't demoralize it, have I? Or no, it doesn't have any buffs on it.
Any debuffs? Yeah, no, you can try demoralizing now. It already lost its fright.
I'm going to demoralize it again with my eyes. Natural 16. So that's 33
against my will DC.
Nope, you cannot do it again to the same target for 10 minutes.
Oh, poo.
Do you want to just move, Eris?
Yeah, I'll move. I'm going to move up to right next to Suki. We're going to form a wall of
to protect Atticus. So yes. Sweet.
Well, it is Suki's turn. Suki, what do you got?
Suki commands Pepsi to take a bite.
Do it.
I dropped my d20. That's going to be, I think that's going to hit 13 plus. What's Pepsi's? 27?
27 hits exactly.
Nice.
Boom, yes. Baby. Okay. Chipping away. Max damage. 11 points of piercing.
Wow.
And then Suki is going to cast her classic electric arc because she's trying not to use all her good spells on this one dude.
Do you not have telekinetic projectile?
I do have telekinetic maneuver.
Interesting.
But it's one of my...
I was going to say, electric arc is like a two-target spell, and now that we're down to one target, I didn't know if there was something better.
No, it's my only unlimited cool spell.
Damaging spell, yeah.
Yeah, I do have acid spell. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Electric arc, bazoom.
Bazoom, reflex save. That's probably going to be a fail. That's a 24.
Failure.
Nice.
Full damn coming
full
up.
Full damn zoning. At 5.
Twelve. 14.
What?
I rolled a 12 plus 2, my electric. I was just saying numbers
it's
out
plus,
loud.
Plus 4 at least, isn't it? It's plus... Okay. Right. Sorry.
It's plus 2.
All right. You take 5 points of bleed damage, Suki. Now give me a flat check, DC 15.
I forgot about the bleed, but you didn't. A 19.
Oh, okay, great. You're no longer bleeding.
I'm right, just guys, quite hurt.
Guys are on fire here. I mean, this is amazing, watching stomp them. all right. I could have easily ended this, because obviously you have this battle in hand. But two reasons I didn't. One, I wanted to chip away, see some people bleed. And two, I have to see Joe roll.
Oh yeah, we gotta, yeah.
Joe, please prepare your dice. Ethel, what attacks will you be doing this to?
I'll be doing a double
slice. I think this should carry over too. If this fight doesn't end here, this should carry over to the next episode.
Yes, Joe has to roll.
Double slice. Roll a war. It's once for the warhammer, once for the scimitar. Plus 19 on the warhammer, plus 18 on the scimitar.
Okay. The epic white die is the scimitar. Here we go.
Old Snowy.
And that's what you want.
I'm sorry, what is it? Plus 18, plus 19?
Plus 19 on the Warhammer, plus 18 on the Scimitar.
Okay. Scimitar is the nat 20.
No nat 20. Two hits. It's 35 is the one, yeah. So no, not a crit, but nope. Two hits.
All right, give me the damage.
Oh, you're going to flens, bro. Oh, I'm rolling the damage. Oh, God, what is it?
2d6? 2d8 plus 7 on the Warhammer, 2d6 plus 6 on the...
Oh, my God. Boxcars on the Scimitar.
All right, so 18 points of damage on the Scimitar, and then 2d8 plus 7 on the Warhammer.
17 on the Warhammer.
And you kill him in the first
game. Yes! Yes! So high on the damage dice.
Wow.
That was awesome.
When you're not doing it for you, you roll well.
I rolled a natty 16 and a natty 12 on the d20s. I mean, come on.
And I think Skid is right. This has to carry over to the first two rounds of the next combat.
Yes.
In Boulder. Speaking of which, we'll see you in Boulder!
See Boulder! Boulder!
Look at his face! That was amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.